for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Wednesday morning service of July the 7th, 1999, at the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the morning.
And Lord, I thank you so much from a personal basis, Lord, that you put this man into my heart and my life. Lord, the things I've learned from him, the things that you've shown me, you've shown to me through him. Lord, I thank you for that. And Father, we ask you this morning to speak to us.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, I don't want Tommy Cook to speak
Amen.
To us, Lord.
That's right.
I want you to speak
That's
to
right.
us through him. Lord, bless your servant this morning. Amen. Bless him with your wisdom. Bless him with your word. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, you said, having ears to hear, they hear not. Lord, let that not be so in this place this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, unstop every spiritual ear in this place that we can hear from you.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, so that we can go forth from this place with truth.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, that we can go forth from this place and that we can be used of you and that we are not duped and dubbed by the devil, but Lord, we are filled with your truth and your wisdom. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just surrender this time of the service to you. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants heareth this morning.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Let's give the Lord a good hand this morning, can we? Praise the Lord. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you. God bless you and be seated. Praise the Lord. Thy servant heareth. That's what Samuel said. He had an open heart to hear the Lord, didn't he? Just as a young child. You know, the Lord spoke to him five times. Five is the number of the ministry. There's a Samuel anointing, which is Christ. It's good to be here this morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I may believe God's taking a people through the veil. I wanted to share this morning on a couple of things, but I won't. I wanted to share on the mark of the beast. Do you know the mark of the beast is a nature? Just like the mark of the Lord is a nature. And yet we scare people with a natural mark. I'm not saying it's not going to be in the natural, but how many know that it's more spiritual than it is natural, if you know the Bible? And then I wanted to share on the rapture today, but we're not going to get raptured before the tribulation or in the middle. I used to teach that. It was drilled into me. And I believed it for years until God showed me. And I don't criticize those who believe in it. I mean, no, if you know Jesus, you're going to go to be with the Lord.
That's right.
That's the main thing. But I do know that the Lord's coming back. And He's coming very soon. But He's not coming until after some trouble. How many know trouble's coming on the earth? Darkness and gross darkness. But at that same time, His light, come on, His glory, shall be seen upon you. When you start seeing the glory of God on people, you'll know that the darkness, well, we know darkness is here, but Jesus is coming, amen?
Right.
Within you and out there in the air. He's coming in the air. Praise the Lord. We believe in the literal return of Jesus.
Right.
But I just don't believe it's going to happen like some teach. And they may not believe the way I teach, but praise the Lord. We'll see. All right. Let's go to the scriptures. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 21 today. Praise God. Chapter 21 in the Word of God. Chapter 21, verse 17. I believe it's verse 17 I want to go to. Hallelujah. How many know that the high priests were a picture of Jesus in the Old Testament? Do you know that? Okay. Look down to verse 17. It tells us something here about the priest. It says in verse 17, speak to Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish. Notice the word blemish. Let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Now, in the Old Testament, if a priest had a physical deformity or any kind of blemish physically, he could not be God's priest. How many know that's true? But today, how many know to be God's priest, a lot of people have physical blemishes. But it's those spiritual blemishes we're going to have to deal with. Isn't that right?
Amen.
How many believe that? And the word blemish means a flaw in character. And we need the ABCs of God. We need a good attitude, we need balance, and we need character. Can somebody say amen? But any deformity physically or morally, you know, in the Old Testament, especially the physical, could keep a man out. But that word blemish means, it means physically or morally. It means also a flaw or disfigurement. It means a weakness, again, of character. It means many things that we could talk about. How many know we have blemishes today, spiritual blemishes? We have to take them to the cross. Can you say amen? And there's got to be a death blow to those things in our self-life. And God wants to heal and mend and forgive us of many things in those areas. Praise the Lord. The priest, he could not marry a harlot. He could not marry a divorced woman or a profane or defiled person. Did you know that? Praise God. He could not defile or profane his seed among people. And there's a message in that if you really go into that. And he ate the bread of God and he served the bread of God to the people of God if he met the qualifications. And how many know once a year he took the golden altar? Where was the golden altar most of the time? It was in the holy place, wasn't it? Right before the veil. How many know that? That's where it was. But once a year he would take that golden altar inside the Holy of Holies. On the Day of Atonement, when he went in there. And so that golden altar speaks of many things. It speaks the offering up of your soul. It speaks of worship. And you know, many men die at the golden altar of incense. Many have died. How many know the sons of Aaron died there? Uzziah in the Old Testament died there. He went in to burn incense. You remember that? And so there are men today that have been taken out because of sin. God has... Their physical life has been laid down, but yet the Lord would take them out. And many, I think, some have went on to be with the Lord, but He knows all about that. Praise God. And how many know when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, he would take the blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat seven times? How many know seven is spiritual perfection? How many know Jesus' blood was perfect blood? It was a type of His blood. Perfect blood. And He took in a double hands full of incense, the Amplified Translation says. How many believe we need a double portion today of worship and prayer and intercession and so forth? And then he had the crown of the anointing upon him. Now, he had to have all this together. How many, otherwise he'd die. Isn't that right? The Bible talks about the crown of the anointing. The anointing of God was upon the priest, praise God, because he was God's chosen. And he had to be clothed properly before he could go in there to minister. How many know God's clothing us too? God's putting His anointing upon us, and God's given us that incense. God's putting a desire in us for to pray and to worship. Praise the Lord. It's not always just when we come together. How many know we need a quiet time with God?
That's right.
Amen. Then He had to be cleansed by water. He had to wash His hands and His feet going in and coming out. How many know that speaks of your work life and walk life as well? And then on the mitre of the high priest, there was a little emblem called holiness unto the Lord. So he could not have any kind of physical blemishes, as I said. Praise the Lord. And so God is making us priests. Now let's go. I'm coming back here. So hold your place. I want to go to Revelation 5. Look at a couple of scriptures in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. I really appreciate this meeting so far. It's been very good. How many enjoyed the meetings? Praise God. In Revelation 5, and you know this Revelation 5, a lot of it goes to Revelation 14. There's about five or six things that I see in this chapter that's in chapter 14. They sang a new song. They were worshiping the Lord with harps. The Lamb of God was exalted. They were the redeemed and the throne of God. So it goes with Revelation 14. It's the same people anyway. But look down in chapter 5, in verse 9, they sung what? What did they sing? A new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." How many thank God Jesus died for us? "And hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God," look at this, "kings and priests." Hallelujah. Anybody want to be a king and a priest this morning? All right. "And we shall reign in heaven." Come on. Where are we going to reign at? On the earth. Hallelujah. You may not like the earth, but I got news for you. Coming back. You're going to reign here on the earth. Now, there's going to be those that come back with Jesus.
That's right.
He's going to bring a bunch of them back. That's what we were talking about yesterday. He's going to bring a lot of them back with him. But he said we'll reign here on this earth. Praise God. And that doesn't mean we won't explore the universe. Now, how many know there's a lot of things God's going to do out there we don't even know yet?
That's right.
I just want to be part of it, don't you?
Amen.
Now, look in Revelation 20. I just want to be part of it. Praise God. Mildred, we'll just take our harps and worship the Lord. And Amen. Amen. We have to keep up old Jim. Okay, verse 4. Chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. Now notice, judgment's given to the saints. And Daniel 7 says the same thing. I mean, we're going to judge angels. We're going to judge this world. Amen. First, we've got to judge ourselves. Isn't that right? But he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. That's an ugly word, isn't it? For the word of God, for the witness of Jesus, excuse me, the testimony, and for the word of God, and which have not worshipped the beast. That means they were here during the beast's reign. You know who these are? These are overcomers. I'll tell you who they are. They did not worship the beast, neither his image. Now look at this. Neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they live with and reign with Christ how long? You know why they didn't worship the beast? Because they didn't have his nature. They had the Christ nature.
Right.
If you've got Jesus' nature in you, you're not going to worship no beast.
Right.
If you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going that direction. Come on, you're following the Lamb of God, aren't you?
Right.
Amen? You don't have to fear that mark if you walk with Jesus. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Now notice, the rest of the dead. This is what? The first resurrection. You read Hebrews 11 about that. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death, which is the lake of fire, has no power. But they shall be, this company right here, they shall be what? What are they going to be? They're going to be God's priests. You're talking about a priest going through the veil. They're going through the veil. Amen? They're going to be caught to the throne of God, Revelation 12:5. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. Now, I could go into that. God has priests that he's taking into the veil, but he has priests who's going to rule and reign. Now, not everybody's going to rule and reign with Jesus. I'm sorry to tell you that. Those who overcome will. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's true. All right. Now, so he has a royal priesthood. Now, look, go to chapter 1 of Revelation. Let's see these priests here in chapter 1. In verse 5 and 6. Right at the beginning of Revelation, John talks about these kings and priests. Verse 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, or the faithful martyr, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Hallelujah. How many believe he loves you this morning? And number 2, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. And 3, he made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. So he loved us, he washed us, he made us. Praise the Lord. He's doing that in a people, isn't he? I want to be one of those priests of God. Amen. Now let's go back to Leviticus this morning in chapter 16. Chapter 16. And let's see this high priest here. Remember, he's a picture of the Lord, the real high priest. And so in chapter 16, in verse 12, the Lord tells the priest, he shall take a censer full of burning coals. Now, how many know those coals came from the brazen altar? How many know that the brazen altar speaks of the cross? And all of our worship and all of our praise and whatever we do has to stem from the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. He could not build his own fire like the sons of Aaron did and offer strange fire. You know what strange fire is? It's doing those things God has not commanded you. That's strange fire. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands, look at this, it's his hands, not hand, but hands. Hands full. Hallelujah. Hands full of what? Sweet incense. How many see that? How many know when you start crying out to God, humility and brokenness will come? Do you believe that?
Yes.
And we have to become little in our own eyes. He must increase, and I must decrease. Amen? And the more you pray, the more you worship, the sweeter you become in God. Is that true? And so it says here, he shall take these hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, very small. Hallelujah. How many know God's got a way to get us to go down? He's got ways and means. He's got a ways and means committee. Okay. And we'll bring it within the veil. Now notice he's got to take this incense within the veil with those coals. He shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover what? Come on. The mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. So if he didn't come God's way, he'd die. He's a dead man. And how many know you cannot go in the presence of God any way you want to? Neither can I. There's a way to move into the Holy of Holies. There's a way to come into God's presence through prayer and praise and worship. Amen? And God is going to take us into there. Now, I want to switch it here just a little bit. Go to Exodus 25. Moses, how many know the high priest could go in there just once a year, but how many know Moses could went in and out of there at different times? Did you understand that? How many know he had a real place with God, didn't he? In chapter 25 of Exodus, here, we're dealing with a lot of things here, which I won't go into, but I just want to touch something. Look in verse 20. How many know in the holy place, the holy of holies, was the ark? Over the ark was the mercy seat, but yet over that mercy seat were two cherubims. Isn't that right? Now, the Bible said that Lucifer was a covering cherub. Is that right? And probably he led worship at one time. But here, not just one, there's two. What's the number two? Come on. The number of witness, isn't it? All right. Now, it says here, and there's a message here I see, but I'm not going to go into that. But the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat. How many see that? And their faces shall look one towards another. The mercy seat shall have shall the face of the cherubims be. All right, now look at verse 22, what God says. Now watch this. And there will I meet with thee, Moses. I will commune. How many believe there's going to be some communication with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Praise God. So first of all, there's worship. Those cherubims stretch forth those wings. It's a picture of worship, isn't it? And then God says to him that these faces of the cherubims look one towards another, towards the mercy seat. How many know that's fellowship? And the Lord said, I will commune with you, Moses, which means revelation. So out of worship and out of communion will flow divine revelation. How many believe we need some divine revelations today to flow into us? So as we worship, as we have fellowship one with another, how many know God hasn't given you the whole ball of wax? Come on. But through your brothers and sisters, He speaks, doesn't He? And if you've got an ear, you'll hear what God's saying through them a lot of times. Many things that you need that you don't have. And so there will be divine worship. And there will be divine fellowship. And there will be also divine revelation. Praise God. So God wants to meet each one of us today, I believe. Praise the Lord. So we've got to start crying out to God. Amen. Now, let's go over back to Leviticus now. And let's go over to chapter 21, I believe it is. I want to touch a few things here the Lord has dealt with me now on this morning. Exodus chapter 21. I'm sorry, Leviticus. Leviticus, I got a habit of going one place and saying something else. Okay, Leviticus chapter 21. Now here are some of the blemishes that the priest had. If he had these, he could not be a priest. Look in verse 18. Whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish. Now he's talking about the priest. That hath a blemish, that's physical blemishes. He shall not approach, otherwise to offer the bread of God. All right, a blind man is number one. A blind man. You ever had a blind man cook for you? Well, I imagine some of them are good cooks. But how many know he can't read always the labels? He might put rat poison, come on, in your cocoa or something. Come on. Some of us do it anyway, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, a blind man, if he's a blind man, he could not be a priest. Now, Let's go to Isaiah 56. Keep your hole in your place here now. Isaiah 56. I want to give you a scripture. I want to give you a scripture in chapter 56. And this should speak to all of us ministries as well as all of us. In Isaiah 56:10, it says this. His watchmen are blind. Anybody want to be a blind watchman? They're all ignorant, which means spiritual darkness. They're all dumb dogs. They can't sound the trumpet. They can't bark, you see. There's no warning. Sleeping. They're foolish virgins. Lying down. Loving to what? Come on. Slumber. Yea, they're all greedy dogs which can never have enough and so forth. And he said it. He's talking about shepherds there. So he's saying many of his watchmen are blind. God help us to take the blindness off of our eyes today, our spiritual eyes. Can you say amen? Amen. And so if a man's blind, there's spiritual darkness. I'm not just talking back here with physical, but I'm talking to you and I concerning more than physical. I mean, no, without a vision, come on, the people's going to perish. They're going to be made naked. It means without a prophetic vision, you're made naked. And so we need eyesight. We need to see. Now I was blind, but now I see. Praise God. So we need vision today. We need to see spiritual things in the Lord. We need revelation from the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Our trouble is, how many know we can even get bogged down in our notes? How many know God can get, I got notes, you wouldn't believe the notes, I got boxes of notes. But how many know sometimes that can be a great hindrance to us? How many know God wants us to bring us into great new truth today? Now He takes the old, and He has the new, and they come out of the treasure of the heart, alright. But you can't just always rely on your notes. Sometimes God don't let you find them like me lately. He's not letting me find some of my notes. I think Janelle hit them or somebody. Praise God. But He wants to give you fresh manna, doesn't He? And that's good. All right, what was the second thing in Leviticus chapter 21? The second physical blemish was, first was he was a blind man. He couldn't be. Secondly, or if he's lame. I mean, if you're lame, you can't walk out what you know. Now, there's a lot of things people know, but they can't walk out what they know. I mean, it's not going to do them any good to have a lot of knowledge if they can't walk it out. Amen? And so we're talking about a cripple here physically. You see, or a physically disabled person in the natural that if he was a priest, he couldn't serve. Praise God. Now, look in Isaiah chapter 35. I'll just give you a couple of scriptures as we go into these. Not a lot, just a few things. John will preach 3 hours tonight, so don't worry about it. Okay, Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35:6. All right, look at 35:6. And here he says in verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. How many know some leapt or leaped when Jesus was here? You go to Acts 8, those that were lame, they leaped, praise God. In Acts 3, there was a man leaped and went into the temple and praised God in the natural. Isn't that right? And so the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and so forth. So the Lord is going and is doing a great work. Praise God. Amen. But how many know if you're lame, there's no forward movement? Is there? Somebody has to take you, carry you, or push you in a wheelchair or something. You know, you have to have help. How many believe the Lord will help us whatever condition we're in? Praise God. But I want to walk out what God has given me. How about you? I want to be able to walk out and be an overcomer. Not just talk about it. I want to walk into some things. Now, back in Leviticus 21, he said the third thing is, not only was he a blind man or is he lame, but the third thing is he couldn't have a flat nose. Now, I've never seen a man with a flat nose, but I wish some of them had one. I've met a few of them. How many know sometimes our nose gets too big and it gets in other people's business? Now, what does it mean to have a flat nose? The word means a disfigured face in the natural. I mean, it would be evident. You'd see it immediately, wouldn't you, if you saw it? But a flat nose means it's someone that can't smell. It's someone that has no discernment. He can't discern anything. You ever met any Christians like that? Church is full of them. God help us all to have some real discernment today in our life. Amen? And so if a priest had a flat nose, he couldn't serve. And so, many have flat noses today. They can't smell. Look in chapter 39 of Job. You ever read about this war horse in Job? The war horse. Look in chapter 39. And look at what it says here. In verse 39, it says, verse 19, Thou hast given the horse strength. Thou hast clothed his neck with thunder. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper, or the glory of his nostrils is terrible? Or he paweth in the valley. What's the horse doing when he's pawing? What's up? He's upset, isn't he? All right. And rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear. He's not afraid, neither turneth he back from the sword. And so over. Now look down to verse 24. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha. And he does something. Look at this. What does he do? He smelleth the battle where? Where's the battle at? When does he smell it? Way out there. Not when it comes in the camp. Come on. Not when it comes into his home or his life. He smells it. He discerns it before it gets to him. Can you hear that? A lot of times we don't discern anything until it's on us. But let me tell you something. If you start praying in the Holy Ghost in the nighttime, amen, come on, or the daytime, he'll whisper to you. He'll tell you to pray for this one in your family, or look out for this down here. Come on. Or he'll show you people. Pray for that person. Stand in the gap for that individual so destruction doesn't hit them. Come on. How many has ever had that? Amen. And so we need discernment. Real God-given discernment. Praise God. Now, look in 1 Corinthians 12. Let me give you one more scripture on this. 1 Corinthians 12. And I love to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I haven't in quite a while, but I love to teach the gifts of the Spirit. How many know we need a lot of teaching on it, but we also need to practice it? Amen. When I was a new Christian, the Lord immediately began to move on me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, it changed my life. It did a work in me. How many know the fruit is given? The fruit is grown. It's a process, but the gift's given. But here in chapter 12, notice down with me in verse 10, in these gifts. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Having a see between prophecy and tongues, that discernment is right there. Otherwise, it's right in between the utterance gifts. That's what I'm saying. Have you see that? Why wasn't it up there with the word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Because the prophetic gifts are used mostly in the church. We see them more, although we should see them all. And how many know we need some real discernment when prophecies start flowing? Whether it's you giving it or me giving it. That's why I like every prophecy I give to get it on the tape if I can. That's a safe order for you and for me. Isn't that right? I have had people come to me and say, Tommy, you prophesied such and such. I said, no, I didn't say that. Get the tape. I did, and they were shocked that I didn't say what they thought I said. How many know we don't always hear? We think we do. Come on. All right. Well, praise the Lord. All right. So God wants to do a work. Now, how many has discernment working in you at times? Different ways. Amen? I told them last night, first time I went to Iceland, I lay down on this bed, and I looked up, and a snake came right out of the ceiling looking at me. It was a spirit, a demon. I saw his eyes, I saw the whole thing, and I rebuked him, and he took off. And then, the first time I ever saw the Jezebel spirit, we were joined hands in this prayer group, and I went around praying, and as I did, I came to this one lady. When I came to her, I laid hands on her and prayed. When I did, I saw the Jezebel spirit go right over the top of her head. And I rebuked that spirit, and she hit the floor foaming at the mouth. That's the first time I ever seen it. How many know Jezebel's real today? I was in a preacher's house in Texas, outside of Dallas, one night, and about 2 or 3 in the morning, all of a sudden I was awakened, and I looked up, and there was a Jezebel spirit right over my bed. Ugliest looking thing I ever seen. I rebuked it, and it took off. How many know that those things are real at times? God shows you those things for purposes. I was in a room one night and I saw a demon go right through the house. I mean, you couldn't stop. We just right through the house. I saw it with my eyes, my spiritual eyes. Amen? How many know these things are real? And then one other experience I had, I was in Illinois. One and I were sleeping in two twin beds. There was a wall like right here. The beds were here. The wall was there. You couldn't see through the wall, of course. And all of a sudden I woke up and I saw right through that wall. I saw a demon standing by the window. Standing by the window. So I just went on back to sleep. And then later on, I woke up again. He was still there. And I said, wonder how he got in here. So I rebuked him. He took off. And I asked the man next door, I said, how did that spirit get in this house where I'm staying? He said he found out that the week before I came, there was a Red Cross lady had come in to that place, And they brought tapes, occult tapes, and they listened to them right there in front of that window where that demon was. That was the entrance. We need to see tonight and hear tonight. What is discerning of spirits? It's hearing and seeing in the realm of spirits, good and bad. Not just only bad, but good. And also human spirits. They're saying God shows you in human spirits. Amen? How many know that's true, if you know your Bible? Praise God. All right, what was the next sign? What was the next thing he said, physical blemish, said if he couldn't be a priest? Huh? Leviticus. Are we there? Let's go back there. Okay, chapter 21. I believe it is. All right, the next thing, blind man, lame man, flat nose, superfluous. That is, that's a limb that's too long. You ever seen a person have a limb too long? One shorter than the other? How many thank God many times the Lord heals people like that? Isn't that right? How many know if a person's got a limb too long, that means he's out of balance? Can we get out of balance, brethren? Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is what? Abomination to the Lord. And so here's a man has a limb too long. He's got one shorter, one longer. And so when he walks, when he runs, he's out of balance. And God says we must be balanced. How many know we can get out of balance in deliverance? We can get out of balance in any teaching, if it's all we talk about. Hey, I think we need to teach everything we can about the kingdom. We need a rounded gospel, rounded, good gospel that the Lord puts in us. If you need deliverance, preach it and do it. If you need healing, do it. Come on. If you need to preach end time, do it. We need all of it, don't we? Praise God. And I thank God for all the ministers that are here that represent all of that too. Praise the Lord. I know some of us have a greater burden, maybe in some area. Don't misunderstand me. But we need to know all the Word of God that we can. Can you say amen? And so the balance today is the fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of God, the power of God. Let me tell you, if I have my choice, I want the fruit first. Isn't that right? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:1. 1 Corinthians 14:1. And oh my, there's so much in these. Yeah, I love to teach these things. Follow after charity, love. Desire, I mean, that's a strong word. Desire what? Spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. But what's the first command? Follow. Do you know the word follow? Do you know what the word follow means? To press. Where Paul talks about pressing for that mark of the high calling. That's what it means. It means to press, but did you know also it means persecution? How many know when you start moving towards the love of God and pressing towards the things of God, how many know persecution is going to come your way? Come on, we've got to press into the kingdom, isn't that right? How many know He is the kingdom? And the kingdom is love. Follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Why did He say that last part, but rather you may prophesy? How many know when you prophesy, that love can flow through that gift as well? And also Jesus can flow through that gift because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Is that right? Now, the reason Paul said that you may prophesy is because, listen, prophecy, in prophecy you can move in every gift of the Holy Spirit. You can get words of wisdom. You can get words of knowledge. You can discern while you prophesy. Come on. Amen. God will show you the demons you got to deal with. Isn't that right? And then miraculous things. You can speak a word like Paul in Acts 14. The man crippled walked as he perceived the man had faith. And he spoke a prophetic word to him. And he stood right to his feet. You can work miracles through prophecy. I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous gift, isn't it? We're not, as Brother George said, we're not using very much of our brain. Well, I'll tell you something. We're not using very many of the gifts of the Spirit. We should either. We need to. Praise God. So if a man has a long limb and a short limb, it's very difficult in walking and running and, you know, doing the things he needs to do. All right, what was the next blemish here in Leviticus? A broken-footed, or literally a fractured foot. That means your walk life's affected. It means that you walk in pain. I've never had a broken foot. Anybody ever had a broken foot here? I imagine it's pretty painful, isn't it? Maybe you have to use crutches, or you have to hobble along, or someone steps on your foot and you cry, ouch. You cannot keep up with other people. It slows others down also. They have to wait on you and help you. Well, we know that's just natural. But how many know that we need to start walking in the Holy Ghost? How do we overcome the flesh? By walking in the Spirit. That's the only way you'll ever overcome, and I'll ever overcome the flesh. Isn't that right? Look in 2 Samuel 9. Here was a man that was a cripple. He was kin to Saul, and because of the he was kin to Jonathan. He was Jonathan's son. And because of the covenant that David and Jonathan made, this one came in on the blessing of that covenant, didn't he? And in 2 Samuel 9, David asked the question, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? How many thank God that the Father and Jesus had a covenant? And we get in on the blessings. Amen? Hallelujah. And verse 2, there was a servant named Ziba who's a picture of the Holy Ghost. He's going to go out and search out and seek out for this son of Jonathan's. And in verse 3, the king is going to show kindness. And you come on down, in verse 4, they found him in a place in the latter part of verse 4 called Lodibar. You ever been to Lodibar? I've been in a lot of places I believe that was Lodibar. You know what Lodibar means? It means no word and no pasture. How many has been in Lodibar? And so he found this cripple. Now, how did he become a cripple? His nurse dropped him. A nurse there, a picture of the church. How many have ever been dropped by the church and you got crippled? Amen? How many know they drop a lot of people sometimes? And so they find this cripple. And Ziba, they carry him to David's table. He didn't hobble in. Come on, he didn't come in on crutches. They carried him. Ziba's a type of the Holy Spirit. He carried him into the table. How many thank God he found us where we were? And he picked us up. Come on, and he brought us to his table. Can you say amen? And so he comes in and gets in all. There's so much here you could go into. I've taught this, and there's a lot of things I'm not even going to go into. But look in verse 10. David said in verse 10, the middle part, that this son would always eat bread at my table. And I want to tell you that Jesus has a table today. And I want to tell you, the marriage supper of the Lamb is not a table 1,500 miles up in the sky. Oh, boy, I don't want to get on that, but I'm telling you, it's not. Can you imagine me sitting at one end and calling John 1,500 miles and say, John, pass the green beans? It ain't going to be that way. I should say mashed potatoes and steak, too, I guess. Now, look down to verse 11. The latter part of verse 11. Mephibosheth said to the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet, or in both his feet. I can just hear one of those sons of David criticizing this cripple for coming and being at the table. And I can imagine David picking up a raw biscuit and hitting him right in the head. But here was the cripple. I mean, he was taken right into the table. Praise God. The blessing, he come under the blessing because of the covenant with Jonathan and David. And I want to tell you, brethren, we better count our blessings today.
Right.
Amen. We may not be crippled in the natural, but if we're not careful, we can be crippled spiritually.
Right.
And God wants to heal us and set us free and bring us to the king's table. And we partake of what he's setting before us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the next thing was, what was the next one? What was the next blemish? Physical blemish. They're in Leviticus. Who can tell me? A broken hand or handed, fractured hand. How many know that speaks of your work? Speaks of your work. If you've got a broken hand, there's a lot of things you can't do in the natural. Isn't that right? It hinders your work. How many know you can't grab somebody and shake their hand if they've got a broken hand? No fellowship. How many believe we need some fellowship today with each other? You know, I remember one time, never forget this, this is the truth. I went to a hospital with a brother and prayed for a man. He had cancer. And I got to the door, and the Holy Ghost, I've ever heard the voice of God, I heard it that day. It was like an audible voice. And I heard the Lord say, go back and pray for the man next door to him, next bed to him. And this brother hesitated, but I heard the Holy Ghost. How many's ever heard the Holy Ghost? How many know when you hear his voice and really know it's him, you got to obey him. And when I walked to that bed, this man had tubes running in and out of him. I don't know what was wrong with him. But I tell you, remember, he reached that little hand out to me when I got there. God somehow touched him. And I felt the Spirit come down. And I tell you, I walked out of that hospital. I don't know what happened that day, but I mean the power of God hit that man. And I walked out of there, and it was like he's walking on air. I mean, I rejoiced all that day. I never had God speak to me like he did that day. Boy, we need to hear the voice of God, don't we? We need to hear his voice. But I remember that hand reached out, that hand of fellowship. And he said he was a Christian. Praise God. So we need to reach out. We need to have fellowship. Hallelujah, with one another. Amen? And mean it. And then the next one, the next blemish, he couldn't be a crookback or humpback or hunchback. Look in Luke 13, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. I started putting my suitcase down last night, and the Holy Ghost said, this is the message right here. How many know that's true? Praise God. How many's ever had that happen to you? You know, especially those that preach and so forth. I remember one time I was going to go to England. I left something in my house. I went back to my door, and just as I touched my knob, the Lord said, new wine. I knew I was going to preach that message somewhere in England. Ever had that happen to anybody? Praise God. I did. I preached that message. Janelle, I see you laughing. I preached that message in England in a church where John Wesley preached. It was an old church, and it was cold in that church. Not only physically, I mean, you know, cold, but the people were cold, except one or two. And one guy came up and apologized. He said, I ask your forgiveness. He said, I heard there was an American coming preaching today and said, I don't like Americans because they're loud. But God gave me a real soft word that day. And so he was very nice. Praise the Lord. So, a crookback. Now, here, look in Luke 13. It says in verse 10 that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. I mean, no, most fine specialists would never say she had a demon. But that's what she had. And notice an infirmity 18 years. That's 666, isn't it? And she was bowed together and could not in no wise, come on, lift up herself. She couldn't do it. There's no way she could do it. Well, if you've got a demon in your back, let me know you can't do anything until you get that demon out. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Jesus called things that be not as though they were. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many know that demon didn't stay around when he said that? He laid hands on her too. Now, notice verse 14, but notice it says here, verse 13, he laid his hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You want to know when God's in America? When he starts getting glory. If man gets the glory, look out. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. He was real happy about it because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. How many know you can get so strict on the Sabbath day, that you'll miss some things? How many know he's our Sabbath? Hey, I can meet just as good on Monday as I can on Sunday. How about you?
Hallelujah. Yes.
We don't esteem one day above another today. We esteem Jesus. He is the Sabbath.
That's right.
And said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. How many is time to throw our traditions out?
That's right.
Our old pet doctrines and so forth. The Lord answered him and said, thou doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of somebody, come on, a daughter of faith, whom Satan hath bound lo these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? How many know she was? What am I saying? Right in the temple. That's where they were. You have a blessed deliverer, don't you? His name is Jesus. You got a blind ruler. That was a man here. Today is our soul. And you had a bound woman, church. How do you know we're part of the church today? We're part of the woman. But we got a blind ruler in us called our soul. But how do you know there's also a blessed deliverer here in this temple? And you know what he did? He did two things on the Sabbath. He rebuked that blind ruler, and he healed the bound woman. Is that true? And you go to the Old Testament, and you know Hannah was a bound woman, picture of the church. A blind ruler was Eli. He didn't even understand intercession. He thought she was drunk on wine. But how many know she brought forth a blessed deliverer at that time? His name's Samuel. He was a man-child. And God is raising up his people in this hour to bring deliverance. Read Obadiah, verses, just one chapter, 17 through 21. His deliverers are coming upon Mount Zion. That goes to Revelation 14. Anybody want to be a deliverer today? How many know we need deliverance of all kinds? All right. Now, how many know many that were crooked back are deformed? Many are born that way or through deterioration or whatever? But how many know some of us are spineless in some area? Come on, we need a backbone to stand for righteousness, don't we? All of us do. Can you say amen? I don't mean to do, project something out of ourselves, but by the Holy Spirit, we need to stand for righteousness. And then the next one, the next blemish was, if a person was a dwarf, he couldn't be a high priest. How many know there are those that will not grow up? They will not. I've met them. They want to be spoon-fed all the time. I like what Brother George said. Got to give him the ball between the whiskers. I never heard that before. Okay, look here in chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, and God wants us to become that man, I put away childish things, or literally childish methods, the way of doing things. Now look in chapter 14, there's another way around, find it. There's one in chapter 14, somebody may have to help me find it. Hallelujah. About a child. Anybody got that verse? Can you see it in chapter 14? I don't have it marked here. Praise God. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 20? Okay, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be you children, but in understanding be something. Come on. Be men. Now look in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now. After a period of time, are you able, for you're yet carnal. And here's what he says. Whether it's envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Look at verse 4. Now look at verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another one, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? It's good to be led by the Lord. It's got, led to the Lord by brethren. But how many know they're not our God?
That's right.
Jesus is our God. We exalt Him. Amen? Now, look over in Hebrews 5. There's a lot here we could go into and teach on these things. But in Hebrews 5, how many want to grow up today?
Yeah.
Want to mature? I think we all do if we have a heart for God. In chapter 5, look in verse 12. For the time you ought to be teachers, you need one that teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? Come on. He's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age or mature. Even those who by reason of use. I mean, oh, God put some spiritual senses in you as well as you got natural senses. What is our spiritual senses? It is worship. It is conscience. Intuition. By reason of use have their senses. Exercise. We exercise our muscles. Come on, we exercise walking. But how many of us time to exercise your inner man? To discern both what? Good and evil. Praise God. So I don't want to be a dwarf. How about you? A spiritual dwarf. Amen. And then what was the next blemish? Number 9. What was the 9th blemish? Blemish in his eye. Now the first was a blind man, right? How many know there's a difference in a blind man and having a blemish? Isn't that right? A blemish in the eye, or a defect in the eye. How many have ever got a cinder or a piece of dirt or dust or sand in your eye? How many know it hurts? And you can't wait to get something, get it out, or get somebody's handkerchief to help you get it out. It causes blurred vision, doesn't it? Plus there's pain. Praise God. Now you're not blind, but your eyes are affected. How many know sometimes people have some kind of eye accident? And it affects their eyes. They may have eyesight, but still, it's not as good as the other one would say in one of the eyes. How many know Paul, John said in Revelation, put some eye salve on your eye. We need that anointing on our eyes, don't we? Not only our natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes. How many know spiritual darkness begins to set in? Sometimes we're not aware of it. Amen? I mean, if we stay in the Word and stay in prayer, you stay sharp. Your discernment stays sharp. You can see things. You can hear things. But you get away from the Word of God and away from prayer, how many know it begins to, you begin to lose it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And also you begin to leak oil out. Become a foolish virgin. And if you get something in your eye, you may not be blind, but you can't see very far off. And we need some real insight to see the things of God. Praise God. God has to elevate our eyesight. And then the next one was scurvy. Anybody ever had scurvy? You know what scurvy means? It means the itch. Boy, I remember growing up, every kid had the itch. You had to put old medicine on them and things. That was a long time ago. Skin problems. How many know vitamins are good for skin? My problem is I don't know what's the right vitamin to take. I hear all these. I'm not much a vitamin person like some are, but how many know it don't hurt to take some? Isn't that right? And I take a few, but you know I don't know much about them. I've seen some get fanatical and go too far and don't even eat. And then there's those who eat and don't take vitamins. So we need a balance, don't we?
Yeah.
Now, in 2 Timothy 4, look at this scripture. What did I say scurvy meant? The itch. Look at verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having something. Itching ears. They're going to get their own teachers that believe exactly what they want. How many know that's happening? You ever watch seminars that are going across the world? Or, you know, some of them get the same guys over and over. I bet I get on that. All right. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Itching ears. They got scurvy. I tell you what, we need truth, brother. We need the truth. And let me tell you something. God is going to send strong delusion to those who do not have a love for the truth. If you're trusting your denomination or your tradition or your pet doctrines over the Word of God, He's going to send strong delusion to you and to me as well if I do that. We put those things ahead of the Word of God. It makes the Word of God of none effect. Can you say amen? Now, what was the next one? What was the next? Scab. How many has ever had scabs that were crusty? You know what it means? Running sores. Can you imagine going to a restaurant and here comes a waitress, a woman waiting on all, she got all these running sores in her arms? I don't think I'd care about her waiting on me, would you? Huh? How many know we get scabby and crusty sometimes? We get hard. We got to be pliable. Come on, is that wineskin? Isn't that right? Got to be pliable. God can pour into us and we can pour out to others. Praise God. We got to be very pliable as a wineskin in God. He don't want us scabbed and crusty. He don't want running sores. I mean, no running sores can be bitterness. Huh? It can be unforgiveness. Man, there's a lot about unforgiveness in this meeting, wasn't there? That's good. I mean, we need to be quick to forgive. We must. And then number 12, it says, has his stones broken or his testicles. That's the reproduction area. No children, no fruit, fruitless. Now, how many believe that we need to bear fruit if we're connected to the vine?
Amen. Yeah.
We must or we'll be cut off. Now, how many know that we cannot reproduce out of ourselves spiritual things? We must be spiritual eunuchs. Which means there are those who cannot and will not, dare not reproduce out of themselves, but only do what God tells them to do. Is that right? Look at Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, look at this verse. It's actually a 30-60-100 type scripture. But look in verse 11. All men, Jesus said, cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. They were born that way. Number two, there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. They were literally castrated. And there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. How many see that? He that's able to receive it, let him receive it. I mean, no, a lot of people can't do that last one. They can't make, I mean, I'm talking about natural. They can't just become a eunuch. They want a wife, they want a husband, and so forth. But we cannot reproduce out of ourselves. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 56. Jack Harris preached a message here one time on Unix. Very good word. If you have a chance to get that tape, I encourage you to get it. There's two tapes. In Isaiah 56, look at verse 4, what the Lord says about the eunuch. Well, let's go to verse 3. The last part of verse 3. The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord to the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, number one, choose the things that please me to, and take hold of my covenant, even to them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. Do you know something? The eunuchs were not afraid of Jezebel. They threw her down. Remember that? And old Jehu run right over her. And the dog... Brother back there was rejoicing. Okay. And the dogs ate everything except three parts. Her head, her skull, her hands, and her feet. And there's a message that I preach on those three things. But the eunuchs were not afraid of Jezebel. How many know God's raising some real eunuchs up for the kingdom of God? Amen? That's going to do the bidding of God. Anybody want to be part of that?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, if a man had a physical blemish, he could not be a priest. But today, it is not physical, but it's spiritual blemishes that we have to deal with in our own lives. Praise God. Any questions? If you have one, John's got all the answers. He's sitting right here in the front row. Praise God. How many want to be a priest of God today? Amen. Amen. Kings and priests are kingdom of priests. That's exactly what it means. Kingdom of priests. You see, he's our kingdom, but he said he's making us a kingdom of priests. We're dwelling in Him, and He's dwelling in us. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Let's stand. Love you. Appreciate you. By the way, I have to leave after the meeting today. If you want any books or my tapes back there, please get them, and because we have to leave here in just a little bit. I'd like to stay for the rest of the week, but I can't. I have to leave. And so I really appreciate being in this meeting. Good meeting. Praise God. Let's praise Him. Amen?
Can I say
yes, yes. Obey the Lord. Sure.
Now, I don't want you.
Hold on. There we go. I don't want you to agree for the sake of just agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
But how many here today believe that you heard from God?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, several people. Mm-hmm. Do I remember what the prayer was that we prayed? We said, mm-hmm. Lord, mm-hmm. would you speak to us mm-hmm. through the man, mm-hmm. and would you give us ears to hear.
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you, but I heard things and I learned things in the last hour that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe we asked, we had, and that we didn't have an arm grow, we didn't mm-hmm. have a blind eye open
mm-hmm.
physically,
mm-hmm.
but God answered our prayer.
Amen. Amen.
We heard, and not only did we hear, but we had ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So, now if somebody walked down here and they were physically blind,
mm-hmm.
and somebody prayed for them and their physical eye was open, we would all walk out of here and say, you would not believe God came down in mm-hmm. our meeting today. Listen, God came down in our meeting today. Mm-hmm. Let's praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, John. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Brother Greg, the Lord says, don't be discouraged, my son. Don't be disheartened of things you've heard and seen. But God says, I'm with thee, and I'm going to dig your ear. I'm going to cause you to see new truths, hear new things in the days ahead, for I've chosen you, my son. You are one of those lively stones that I'm making up my body with.
You're going to be a shining one that the Lord's radiance and power and presence shall shine through. So rejoice. Every hair on your head is numbered, saith the Lord. I know your ups and downs. And God said, I'm with thee. And the Lord has not forgotten. He's heard your cries, heard your prayers. So rejoice. And God says, don't let anxiety overtake thee, but you overtake it and defeat it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Fletcher, the Lord said, you've walked with me many years. You've talked and communicated with me many times. And the Lord's going to take you into deeper depths and higher heights in the things of the Spirit. He's going to begin to show you things in the Holy Ghost, in the gifts of the Spirit. I just see it down the road a piece. There's going to be seminars. You'll be teaching much on the move of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And God's going to show you some great things there that's going to be revealed not to you, but also to my body. And you're going to also see the miraculous, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him praise and honor and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Jesus. We honor you today, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many's enjoyed the meeting so far? Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the good food we're going to partake of. And Lord, we lift up the kitchen help and all the people that work here. Father God, many work hard and they do long hours. We lift them up and ask your blessing upon them, Lord. Bless Glenn and Irma. Bless the camp, Lord. Bless the people of God that are here. And Lord, again, those that are still coming maybe this week to the meeting, protect them, be with them. And use all the ministers that are here, Father, to bless the people, Lord, with your word and by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus. Meet every need of the camp. Meet every need of the people, Lord. Bless them and bless their homes as they're gone, Lord. Just look after them and Lord, everything, their needs, I pray, Father, shall be met today as well. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. God love you and bless you. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.